Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back, 23 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. We're rocking and rolling here on the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. And we're having a great visit with our good friend Frank Lavin. He's in Singapore. He manages Export Now, exportnow.com, which is an organization that helps American companies put their best foot forward and sell stuff in China. How about that? And he makes that happen, helps them navigate all the waters and all the treacherous issues and all the things that are easy and hard and the pricing and the fees and the regulations and all that stuff. He takes care of all that stuff for you and takes the worry out of your hands. So Frank, thanks again for being here. Thanks for what you've been doing. It's been fun over the years to hear. You know, I remember when you first told us about it way back in the day. And now it's just doing great, and I'm proud of you for what you're doing, and how you're helping so many people to put their, to grow their business overseas. So I want to ask you though, if what industry seems to sail through quicker, through customs, through the regulatory? If there's one or two or three industries out there, is it clothing? Is it toothpaste? Is it potato chips? Is it car bumpers? Well, I don't know. What is it?
Yeah. There are two or three segments that really that the Chinese consumer really seems to be hungry for American products, that is. One is cosmetics. The other is mommy and baby gear. And the third is nutrition products, health bars, exercise, wheat germ or vitamin E, kind of things. So that those family of products seem to do extremely well in the market. But what we'd say in general is the differentiated product works, because remember this, if you're selling an American product in China, you're going to be the higher priced product. So it has to be some kind of premium message, premium brand position, because the Chinese consumer, again, they'll go for the Nike. They don't mind paying extra money for the Nike shoes, but Nike's a great brand, great message. They feel good about buying it. So think of your product in that way. If it's a premium product, if it has the right message, you'll get traction with the Chinese consumer.
I remember when the car companies had translation issues with some of the names of their cars. Do you help people with that so they make sure that their product doesn't translate in Chinese to something that would be offensive?
Right, we do. And the key there is always do a focus group. The key is you can go through the books, go through the lawyer, make sure it's a kosher name, so to speak. But that just means that it's legally acceptable. It still doesn't mean it might be embarrassing or some sort. So make sure you go through a focus group. Make sure you sit around with a few dozen people and ask them, what does this name mean for you? And nowadays, you can do essentially a Google search. You use Baidu in China, but you can do a search online and say, is that the name of a famous criminal or something who got arrested 20 years ago? We don't want to use that name. So we do those kind of due diligence.
Here's another question for you.
Yeah.
The Chinese are notorious for knocking off stuff and basically stealing intellectual property. How do you help your customers not fall victim to that? Can you actually do that?
Yeah, you can. And first of all, we have to say you're right. That is a problem in China. It's getting better, but it is a problem. And it really is a shock to a lot of Americans, because they'll typically be selling in Canada or Mexico or Britain, where they just don't encounter that kind of problem. And then all of a sudden in China, you do. The first thing we'd say is the best defense is a good offense. As soon as you start selling and the consumer can find the proper material online, the original material online, they start moving away from the copies, because a segment of the consumer wants the authentic stuff. So if you have an official store up, an e-commerce store up, you're going to cut the problem in half just by opening the store. The other thing we do for our clients, every client's different, but what we do is a set of monitoring and policing activities, sometimes just for pricing, because you're selling to different people. And different people might charge themselves different prices. You want to enforce price discipline.
Right.
U.S. brands do this all the time with U.S. merchants, right? They want to always make sure that MSRP is respected and there's no price competition except when authorized. We'll do the same thing. But as part of that bundle of activities, you also want to have secret shopper program out there to be buying products and saying, is somebody using a fake product or a black market product or whatever? Mm-hmm. And you just have to have a regular program. We say once a month, let's purchase 20 of these items from different places around the Internet
and make sure
and see what's
that,
out there.
And we're not getting knocked off. Yeah.
Or not.
Makes sense. Yeah. So, all right, what about the turnaround time on the money? How long, if I did business, if I shipped some products to you, and you'd have to do it in bulk, right? Because if I remember correctly, you take these products in bulk, you don't do them one at a time, and you warehouse them.
Yeah.
And so how long a turnaround time would I have from the time the product is actually sold, how long would it be before I get my money?
Probably 2 weeks, because what we use the main Alibaba platform for most of what we do. That's the largest, that's the Amazon of China. Although it's bigger than Amazon, and their main platform is Tmall. And what they have, they require everybody who sells on that platform a 2 weeks escrow, because that allows the consumer to a refund policy. The consumer has 2 weeks to send the product back and get a refund. Of course, not if it's food or if it's used cosmetics. You can't get a refund unless it was damaged food or something. But you know, if you buy a tennis racket and it turns out you don't like that tennis racket, you can send it back and get a refund. So everything's escrowed for 2 weeks, and then it's sent back to you in the United States.
So what's it, from the time it leaves my dock till I get my money, if it sells in a reasonable time, 60 days?
Yeah, 60 days is probably good to figure. Now, of course, your first few months is startup phase, and it might be a slower.
So you got a plan. Have a plan to capitalize this, folks. This is not a. If your cash flow is tight, maybe this isn't the right thing for you. Frank Lavin and I will be right back, folks. The website is exportnow.com. Stay with us. We've got more to come.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.